This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 10th,
2011. The time is 4:46 and I'm calling the March 10th Student Assembly Meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll? Here.
He's gonna walk in a second. Here.
Here.
She's unexcused.
Here.
Men's here. She's here.
Here, sorry.
Yeah. Unexcused.
Here.
Here.
Yep.
Here. Unexcused.
Oh, Bruce is here. He's walking
Bruce
in.
Here.
Can I get the computer? You email it to me? All right. Moving on to the next part of our agenda, oath of office. Would everybody please welcome Gina Moon, who's taking Tim's seat. So we don't have the oath of office printed out, so I'm going to work off the telephone here. And so also, before we begin, I just want to mention that Ankur and I are going to be stepping out at 6 because we have the trustee dinner to go to, but Ray will be chairing the meeting at that point on. Open microphone.
Open microphone. If we have any members of the audience who would like to speak on anything that is not currently on the agenda, please feel free to come up to the open microphone table. Seeing none, I'm going to move to close the open microphone session.
All right. Moving on to Resolution 64. Jennifer, please check in. Moving on to Resolution 64, SAFC Appeals. Will the co-chairs please step up? Adam, if you'd go over there.
Do you want to go about this? Yeah, let's see people.
Yeah. All right.
One is up there.
Yes.
Let's just do it in order based on the resolution.
All right.
So, as you all know, we had 39-41 appeal. Some of the groups have requested
the appeal.
Everybody in the audience and also the student assembly members, the way it's going to work is we're going to go through each part of the resolution is a recommendation by the committee. It will require a two-thirds to amend the resolution to pass the amendment. To pass the resolution in its entirety, it will require a simple majority vote. And you're going to speak about each group individually, and then we'll vote on the entire resolution. If you have any amendments to make instead of a group, feel free to make that when the time when we reach that point. So you have 4 minutes to present.
So just point of order. So Ray, do you want to vote individually on every single, I think there are 26 groups listed in this resolution. Do you want to vote on every single group or only the groups that are in contention or that assembly members want to bring up? So basically, we have 35 appeals that are going to be heard by the Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee has heard 27 so far. One group is requested to go next Thursday to have their appeal heard. So you have 26 groups in here. So I guess, you know, just a little bit of background. The Appropriations Committee hears SAFC appeals that the SAFC believes it did not err on. And so the Appropriations Committee, on the whole scale, general level, determines whether it believes the SAFC erred in making its funding decision based upon the SAFC guidelines. Basically, when the SA hears an appeal, that's when the group says, we don't agree with the decision of the SAFC and the Appropriations Committee, and so we'd like the SAFC, or the SA as a whole, to hear our appeal. A word of advice and caution, more to set up the SA for how to hear these appeals, and I think how it's been done in the past has been a little haphazard, so I'm going to make it clear here, and Lauren can kind of bounce off this, but the SA should not be throwing out the SAFC guidelines. You should be considering the SAFC guidelines when you make your decision. So you're going to hear a lot of groups that may have not followed the guidelines, and they're going to try to convince you otherwise, but let's say you didn't hand in a piece of documentation before the deadline. You got to think long and hard if they've followed the guidelines or if there's some kind of loophole here, and we'll tell you which guidelines are applicable, and if you can find the SAFC guidelines in your computer, that would also be helpful. One other note, appeals come out of a fund that the SAFC sets aside, and right now that fund is about $38,000 if you don't consider anything. Based on the appeals we've granted so far, there's about $10,000 that's coming out of that fund for appeals that have been granted. So it's about $28,000. In addition, SAFC Special Projects also comes out of this fund. So in the past, people have thought, well, if we granted this appeal, SAFC has lots of money. But it also goes against a lot of the groups that are applying, that have followed the guidelines and are applying for funding for events that they need funding for. And I don't know how much special projects you have funding for, but essentially every appeal that you grant here is going to detract from groups that are applying for special projects funding. So if you give money to a group, another group will not have that money, essentially. So there is that give and take. So directing your attention to the resolution, basically the whereas clause shows exactly what the group got from the Appropriations Committee after its hearing, and then the be it therefore resolved clause is what we believe the SAFC erred or not, and then if they erred, how much money is being given back to that group. And so if you make an amendment, please make it to the be it therefore resolved clause, and the whereas clause shall remain the same. Lauren, do you want to
touch on anything before we start?
Nothing in particular, except for the fact that we have been getting special projects since the beginning of February, and we have a stack of about 3 or 4 inches of paper that we still have to go through for special projects, so there's at least 15 in there. So we have a lot of requests for special projects that need to be addressed. So there definitely is a demand for the money that's remaining in this account.
So I guess if we want to get started, we'll go down the resolution to the first group that requested an appeal, and that is... So the first group down the list that requested an appeal before the student assembly is Cornell Shake Ultimate. So do we have any representatives from Cornell Shake? Okay, so if you guys want to come up to the table.
So to begin with, we have a letter that we sent to the appeals. Can we pass that around or no?
Just in case anybody hasn't seen it,
so let me.
Pretty well out with our case.
Would you like me to outline the situation first, or do you want to pull out your packet? And I'll shake. Just a brief outline, and then like on the situation, you can make your case. Sure. So in this case, Cornell Shake Ultimate requested funding for its travel event, and when it submitted documentation for its travel event, it left out the dates of the event, and therefore, according to the SAFC guideline, under 9.4.2, travel event eligibility, it should not be funded because it didn't include the proper documentation for that travel event. Is that so? If you guys want to...
Could I see your version of, just to make sure that it matches mine, the guidelines?
Applicant includes in the application the dates of the event. This is what you have to get.
Great. First of all, thank you, everybody, for hearing us today. The main issue, I guess it's already been explained, is that the SAFC is claiming that we did not submit proof of the dates of our travel event. And actually, that's true. We didn't submit proof of the dates of our travel event when we submit our application. The issue that it seems to me is being quoted is that the words are applicant includes in its application, a few other things, and the dates of the event. We did that, I would like to be clear. When we submitted our budget online, you're required to submit the dates of every event. And we did that. We filled out all of the forms online to be able to submit the dates of the event. You actually can't even submit a budget if you don't have those dates. So we did do that. What we did not do is the next clause, which says proof of a travel event. And there are two options listed with an or in between them, which, as everyone here knows, means you need to do one of the two things. One of the things is a printout directly from a website that includes the title, description, and dates of an event, e.g. a conference, and any other relevant event details. Or a letter or fax from the event organizer is also suitable, provided it includes contact information for the organizer. Now, in that latter section, it doesn't say anything about event dates or any kind of event information. It makes it very clear that you need to submit contact information, which leads us to believe that the SAFC will contact the event organizer if they have any questions about anything like the event dates, the event location, the event venue, because we've given them the ability to do that by providing them contact information. We submitted 2 emails from the tournament organizers for each of these tournaments that provide them with the email address that they could use to contact the event organizer to ask them any questions they might have. We did not submit a printout directly from a website. The issue there was that the Ultimate Community doesn't update its website early enough for us to be able to print out the website. At this point, that's currently updated. You could go online and we could print that out. But at the time, we only knew about these tournaments because of our contacts in the Ultimate Community who said, we're hosting this tournament this weekend. We'd love for you to come. And so we talked with them and got approval for that. And we have that email documented and submitted to the committee. The issue really that I have is that it seems like we're being held to the dates of the event in the application, which we did submit, but which is not clearly listed as something required for proof of the event. We did tell the SAFC what dates the event would be. We just didn't tell them, we didn't give them specific proof of that date. I suppose we're not being trusted as to that actually being when the event date is, but it's very clearly outlined that we don't have to do that. It's not even in this case that it's unclear that we do. Now, at this point, I understand that the SAFC does want us to submit dates. That's very obvious from this whole proceeding. And in the future, we'll be sure to do that regardless of what the guidelines say. But the guidelines, as they're written and as we're bound as an organization, this is really our only reference for what we should submit. And so we follow them to the letter, and the letter of those guidelines do not require that we submit dates.
Thank you. First on the speaker's list is Representative Block.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to remind you something. I'm going to do some amendments to this because I think that at the point where we wanted to hang over, which was something that, you know, I clearly believe that they followed the guidelines. I don't think we can hang over from all there. For working, I think that there's no way that we can say that we're in a fund one organization and not another. I just want to remind you that we have to do some funding to the state fund. So I'm going to amend this.
To clarify, that was a separate situation. catastrophic policy to say to the president because that would basically destroy the FAA rating system. Moving on to the FCC eligibility guidelines, while I can see where you could interpret the rules that way, I think it's pretty clear. So I guess one thing to address is that, I didn't get your name.
My name is Chris.
Chris had mentioned that he put the date on the application when he applied. That's like saying that because you put the price for a durable good in the application, you don't even submit a price for it because it's the price in the application. So I don't think that's a very logical argument. And then finally, on the concept of providing the information of the event organizer versus the actual information. So in the past, we would interpret this rule both for this group and for other organizations is that the letter of fact is suitable for proving the event, but you still need to provide information. And it does say, while it does say that a letter of fact is suitable as a proof of travel event, in the eligibility it says applicants include in their application a proof of travel event, comma, a written explanation, blah, 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 comma, dates of event. So the letter of fact of the event organizer does fill the requirements for the proof of travel event, but there's still the explicit requirement of providing the dates of event requirement, which has not been fulfilled here. We have that other opportunity for this week.
Next to the judge.
Just on that point, yes, you have to deny an organization on this that has a payment right. On that point, I feel that in creating some form as well. It says the applicant must include in his application the proof of travel event, which is what they say, proof of travel event, and that's what they're denied for. They're denied for because they did not include the date in the proof of travel event, whereas they explicitly say here that either of the option B, which is Chris alluded to, does not need to have the date of the event added to the here. Unless the word or, and I mean, in this case, in this case, that the letter that is provided to Chris provided was sufficient as proof of travel event. In the section that reveals the correct proof, then applicant must include in the application A, proof of travel event. The reason there was nine for the signature of money, and the reason there was nine for the signature of money, a proof of travel event, written explanation, the date of the event, and that was included in the application. Of course, you have the date of the event. You can say proof of the date of the event, or a written printout of the date of the event. Chris said, and this is completely true, that you need to provide the date of the event in the application on the form online. Before you, that's part of your application, no? So Chris provided that online. I am waiting for Bob to finish the amendment. I'm thinking of my PDF time, I understand, but I feel like it would be ridiculous given the understanding of English that we all have, hopefully, in this body, to deny the proof on these because proof of travel event that either of these are acceptable. The second option, satisfied, does not need to have a date as listed here. I mean, you can pass it around, you can look up on the internet, what have you. It is patent that I think that the group is given funding and they have to be there. In the future, maybe amending this proof of travel event such that it does include dates, because that does make sense. No, you don't have a date on it. That's something that we could do, given this confusion, given this unclear language as it currently stands. The group is currently in debt, and it is a particular number.
All right, before we go to the FAC, I'm going to pull up the amendments that you guys have to do, and then you guys can probably respond to that. I've got a question for all right, so you feel as if the FAC aired, and that's the reason why you let it. All right, so. We are crossing out the notch that the FDIC did there. And then the group will be funded. If we, point of information, one.
We need to say how much, because the other, like the other three there which all cause is half an amount. It would be better if I did it. Actually, we have asked for information.
So, we'll
that'll be worked out.
Just as another point of information, there are oftentimes groups want to apply for a particular tournament that they want to go to. However, they don't have the dates at the time of the budget application deadline. And what they do is they file special projects. That is the reason why we have a special project option, is for organizations who say want to go to the national soccer tournament but didn't realize that they were going to get in or the dates for the national soccer tournament haven't been set. They then can apply after the budget deadline for a special project because they could not have conceived of this expense at the time of the budget. And so oftentimes if organizations don't know the date of a particular event, they just go the special project route, which is what we would suggest in this case.
Right.
As long as the organization can prove that they had no knowledge of the dates at the time of the original budget application and we still have funding in the special projects fund and they submit the relevant documentation, it would get approved. And, I mean, we advise groups not to spend money that they don't have.
Are we allowed to say anything at this point?
Yeah.
I think the main thing is that, like, we, regardless of whether the tournaments have passed or not, we're not trying to say that we deserve funding because we're in debt. We're trying to say we deserve funding because we follow the guidelines to the letter. And the main thing we'd like you guys to consider is the fact that the guidelines say we don't need to submit dates. Not the fact that we're in debt. Not the fact that we, the tournaments have passed or not. We just want the funding that we applied for to the letter by the guidelines.
Did they follow the guidelines? Do you need dates or not?
I mean, we always require dates. How most commissioners, if not all of them, read this is that you can either have a printout from a website or you can have a letter or a fax, but in either one of those three different fashions of communication, you need to include the dates.
All right. We are on the senior list for the amendment. Who would like to be first representative of the IU? You have 1 minute to respond to Representative Johnson's comment about how the application does not require proof of the statement and only to be included in the application. If we were to extend that practice to things like durable goods and travel events, for states in the guidelines that certain things need to be included in the application. And like I said, instead of a price quote, we can just say that the price was listed in an application for that for durable or anything like that or something required rather than proving that it was there, we can just listed in the application. Like, that logically doesn't make sense. The whole point of the FAA is to prove that this money is required and that there's documentation.
I would like to note that we have number of groups still in the audience, so I'm not trying to limit the discussion here, but I'll let you move on. Before I give you a chance to comment, I will go to the board of
You're asking what was the reason why the Appropriations Committee unanimously denied this appeal? The Appropriations Committee felt that the group did not follow the SAFC guidelines because the SAFC guidelines say that you need to submit dates of an event, which is clearly in the guidelines, and I want to just clear up that factual inaccuracy that they didn't follow the guidelines, that you need dates for an event in the guidelines because it says applicant must include in its application proof of travel event, written explanation of how participation in the event supports the mission, date, and location of the event. And so, therefore, in that documentation, so that's why 0 to 11 to 0, the Appropriations Committee denied the appeal.
Yes.
I mean, the date, as far as I know, is on their online budget, which is like what you fill out on the website and then you print out, but it's not on like the actual documentation printout to verify that this event is occurring.
We included dates in our application. It's on the form.
All right. Thank you. Next is Representative Judge.
Thank you. Just to respond to the we're not saying that you don't need to follow guidelines or that I don't really understand your point. My point again is the fact that under the eligibility guidelines, under the fact that the entire point of the SA is to navigate where there are murky waters, where there is shaded gray, here it seems obvious to me the fact that because it is unclear in the application, regardless of how the SA commission interprets the rule, because there is murkiness seems like there's option A, must include the date, and option B doesn't include the date. Because a lot of us here are interpreting it that way, regardless of how you physicians interpret it, because there are applicants that will interpret it in a way that we are interpreting. Because there's another here, the FDA should fund, or the FDA should fund this appeal.
Yes, what is required of 2/3 of the members present? Next is Representative Brown.
So, I have run for PhD, and I did get it, but now I'm looking at the documentation from the FAQ website, and yes, you need proof of travel. But no, you don't need proof of the agreement, you just need the agreement. So I think we're arguing here over semantics. If everyone is going to look at this website, this is something that either needs to be clarified in the future or maybe we should clarify it now. But you really can't penalize the group for something that, yes, there is some argument, yes, there is some wiggle room, I guess, and it's really not clear on this website. So I would like to motion to pass the motion. Yeah, motion to vote.
Second. All right, there's a motion to vote. Second, is there any dissent? So the exact wording
calling up is Human Flight Project.
Can we have the hold for it? Oh, yes.
You have Human Flight. Yeah.
So I'm going to give
you're going to hear very similar stories. This one concerns durable goods, and for you to be eligible for funding, you need to provide the storage location of a durable good in your application or on an inventory report form. This group failed to include an inventory storage location, which it now has done, but because it originally had not been included, it had violated the FAFC guidelines, and therefore the Appropriations Committee voted 1-8-1 that this group not be granted an appeal, and the FAFC decision will stand. So,
all right. The FAFC, I'm
kind of limited on time here, so I'm just going to put this out here and not really explain it much, but long story short, our group is going to be building a scale model of this aircraft, which we've designed. And as Adam mentioned, we were denied funding because we left out essentially one sentence in our application, which was that the durable goods would be stored on campus. And we feel that essentially this isn't fair for new groups because this is our first semester applying for durable goods. And because of this single mistake that, you know, we left this out in our application, and it wasn't because some, you know, we didn't plan for storing these goods. It was merely, you know, that it slipped our minds, it was left out of the application, we were denied funding. And essentially, the problem with this is that, you know, these guidelines, we have these guidelines in place to make sure that, you know, groups have properly planned for the funding and that the funding will be used and that, you know, this funding by the SAFC isn't going to waste. But as the guidelines are currently being used, you know, there's no way for groups to correct their application or fill in information that they originally had as missing. And so currently, as I see it being used, is to deny groups funding, essentially.
I guess the main point is that did we make the mistake or did the organization make the mistake? Because that's ultimately what you're voting on.
Thank you. First on the speaker's list is Representative
Smith.
Yes, we held three help sessions before the budgets were due. One of them was like an hour and a half long, and the other two were an hour apiece. So every group had 3.5 hours where they could come in and talk to commissioners and have commissioners answer any questions that they have. They could also use the SAFC email address and contact either Kevin or me or Terry, and we would answer that within 24 hours. So there are plenty modes of communication that they could have utilized if they had any questions or wanted us to double check anything. So there was an opportunity afforded to them to double check stuff.
And did you guys take advantage of the
continuous level? Yes, we did. We talked to Terry multiple times. And the point we want to reiterate is that we're a new team, and so we're likely to make one-off mistakes, and we only made one mistake. And to cut off this minimal funding that a startup team like us needs is basically killing our team, because we will not last next semester if we don't get this small amount of funding. And the thing is, we promptly replied back with the storage information as soon as we were told it was missing. So what we're saying is your system should have a place for us to come back and say, oh, okay, if we forgot this, here it is, because we did plan for it, we just forgot to hand it in. Every other system in the world has that in place. And you do let us come back and give another document for it, but then you don't accept that document, which is what we're confused about. And we feel like we shouldn't be denied the funding when we promptly reply back with the appropriate document.
Funding in question is $1,000.
And I just wanted to comment on that.
Point of information?
Yeah, of course.
If they're a first semester organization, they're automatically capped at $500.
We are a second semester organization, though, but this is our first semester applying for durable goods, so it would be, I guess, $1,000 would be the cap. And we're not, you know, we realize that in cases such as this, you know, it would make sense possibly to apply penalties of funding or penalize groups for a mistake like this, but we don't believe the penalty should be a loss of all funding. And so, you know, we're looking for, you know, any funds we can get. We know that there's limited room in the budget, but so, you know, just take that into account as well.
Thank you. I would like to notify the group and the assembly that we are doing a current major overhaul of the SAFC system, and we are looking into the options for addressing that issue of turning in missing documentation at some point in the process. Did write a report, and that was public, but that does not really have bearing on this specific instance, but just for general public knowledge, this issue has been addressed in hours of conversation. It will be addressed by next semester, so keep an eye on for that. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Lagarde.
totally fill your main on. I actually have things that some people don't understand.
Please speak up.
I understand that. Well, you said you're a second year organizer.
Second semester organization.
Second semester.
Yeah.
First time applying for any type of FASC funding?
I guess second semester applying for durable goods. Last semester we applied for event. First semester applying for durable goods.
I really understand your pain in, like Vince said, or President Andrews was saying, we are doing a major overhaul, but we have had a lot of groups for missing that one line. If you reread your application over before you submitted, you may have noticed it, and I do feel really sorry for you. But please understand that we're making our judgment on whether the SAFT cared or not didn't care. And clearly the SAFT didn't care. You even admitted that you overlooked it, overlooked this one line. So with that, I'd like to call a question.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm going to call a question. And there's been dissent. I'm assuming this is that it doesn't like to speak. And that dissent probably includes that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people secretly. We do have a number of organizations. Now we're going to vote. If you'd like to vote on this organization, it would be 2/3. To end debate, please raise your placards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, I can't. You hear 18? Okay. If you would like to vote no and continue debate, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we will go ahead and move to a vote. We simply need a majority to affirm the Appropriations Committee's decision. If we do not obtain that majority, we will go back into debate.
Yeah, that's true.
So, well, we're going to vote, all right? So, please raise your placards if you would like to pass the funding as it is without writing down the money.
Cornell International Affairs Society. So where you guys want? Yeah. So you're gonna abstain. So right.
Huh?
You
have to abstain.
Yes.
Give
me 1 second.
Highest.
Sorry. Yeah. What did I put here?
It's invalid.
Yes, sir. So here, the group included, well, they're going on a travel event to Canada and to Montreal, and they included a letter from the conference organizer, except it is not according to some of the rules and the guidelines, which I'll pull up now, and also did not include the date of the conference, very similar to the last one, and therefore we are unable to fund because the group did not follow the SAFC guidelines, and the Appropriations Committee voted on this 0-8-2. The other issue is...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.